Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Now, I know you're like, Scott, you're about a couple weeks off because we're in our All for Jesus series. We're not in our Luke series. If you're a guest with us, we've been going through the book of Luke for about 2.5 years now. And we took a break this month, though, because we're focusing on this series called All for Jesus. But it was interesting how where we're at right now, which, by the way, Easter Sunday will be our final Luke message. How about that? It's been a great time. What a great book of the Bible to study, the book of Luke. But Easter Sunday will be our final message in the book of Luke, and then we'll move on to something else. But I want you to turn to the book of Luke, because where we're at right now in Luke chapter 21 fit perfectly with the end of our series here called All for Jesus. There was a pastor. He was preoccupied with thoughts of how he was going to ask his congregation to come up with more money than they were expecting to do what? Repair the building. He was nervous. He wanted everything to be perfect. Then he realized, oh, no, we don't have enough money, so he's going to have to go back. And so that morning, that Sunday morning, he wanted the service to be perfect. So he called the regular church organist, and of all things, she wasn't going to be there. There's a substitute organist. And so that Sunday morning, the substitute organist showed up and he went over there and said, now listen, it's a very important morning and I'm going to need your help. As soon as I'm done talking to the congregation about the need for several of them to give more money because the roof repairs were going to cost more than what we thought, I need you just to play some kind of a song that's going to just really help entice and encourage them to give. And so the service started. And the pastor shared, brothers and sisters, we're in great difficulty. The roof repairs cost twice as much as we expected, and we need $4,000 more. Any of you who can pledge $500 or more, please stand up. He turned to the organist, and she began to play the Star Spangled Banner. All the repairs we're making this year coming up are all going to be paid out of the general fund. We're not taking up an offering for that. But I do want to talk to you about that subject, though, of offerings. Last week, this is our last week in this mission series called All for Jesus. And last week, we laid it out there once again. Acts 1:8 is really our target. And beyond that, how do we respond? Well, we respond to the call for us as believers and as a church to go to the nations. How do we respond? We respond by, first off, the way they did in Scripture, praying. We pray, we go. So we pray, Lord, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And we pray for our missionaries like we did this morning. We pray that God would raise up others. And we go. And what that means is that we go to the ends of the earth and to the ends of our driveway. Mission. Whoa, got a little choked up there. Missions doesn't start by giving an offering to a missionary. Mission starts in our lives every day. We're on mission. Wherever you're at, we're sharing the love of Christ. Who are you praying for regularly? Like, who's just maybe 3 or 4 people that you pray for regularly? Use me. Use me to share the gospel with this person. Who are you sharing the gospel with? So we go. And some of us, we even go as vocational missionaries. Or as a vocation of a pastor, apostle, a missionary, evangelist. There are some of you in this congregation that God is placing his hand on, and he's calling you to be a pastor, to lead a church, maybe here in the States, to lead a church overseas, and start more churches over there. Work yourself out of a job. So here's our call. We're to pray, we're to go, and today I want to focus in on the third one, and that's we're to give. We're to give. In the seat back in front of you, there is a little, oh, here it is. There's a card. It looks something like this. It's called a faith promise. It's nothing new to our church. I want to talk to you about that, but even bigger than that, I want to talk to you about the biblical thought of giving and what that looks like, particularly out of our text today in the area of the offering. Luke chapter 21, if you're not there, you're probably never going to get there, so let's read. Verse 1, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. Just four simple verses. That's all we got today. At some point, the Gospel of Mark records this passage as well. And so it looks like Jesus maybe even was resting. He was kind of hanging out in this area. And then Luke says that he turned and he noticed people were giving their offerings. This was an area that Jesus was in, kind of near the court of women. The treasury was in an adjoining walkway in the temple. So he's at the temple in the court of women, and there's a walkway there. And in that walkway, we know this from Jewish history, is that in the temple there, they would have seven boxes there. And imagine with me, seven boxes, and each one of them had kind of a trumpet coming out of it, and you'd toss your coins in, and it would go down. And I don't think it was like racing, like you ever see those? You put your quarter here, and it just goes right down into it. And they had seven of those. That was for the temple tax. So if you were 20 years or older, you would pay a temple tax, and that would take care of all the stuff that would happen, the sacrificial stuff, and anything that would happen to the temple, it would take care of that. And then there were six other boxes just like that, but they were for offerings. That's where we see this happening. This gal brought her offerings. This gal dropped two coins. They were lepta, is what the official name of them are. There's two of them. And some would say that one lepta would maybe be this gal's kind of a day's wage for her. In her state of life. We don't exactly know, but know this. We do know this. According to what Jesus said, this is all this gal had, and she gave it. And so the discussion then is, what is God trying to say to us from this passage? What is the main point of this text? What is Jesus trying to teach us? Well, as I studied this, I have this software. It's amazing how much things have changed. I have software now that I've got like 20 different theological books on almost every book of the Bible. Well, I've got more than that, but typically I have about 15 to 20 different commentaries on Scripture that just like that I can pull up and have click, 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 click. They're all right here. And let me tell you what all of them agree on about this passage. Really nothing. As I dove into this and studied it for myself, prayed over it, looked at it, but as the commentators, they're like, well, we're not quite sure. And there's some that even go as far to say that, well, this gal felt pressure because Jesus was standing there and watching, and she felt pressured by the religious system of bondage that she was in to give this offering in front. And like, okay, I'm going to X out of that commentary because I don't think that's it at all. And then, of course, I think it is interesting, though. If this was your grandma, just put yourself in this situation, will you? If this was your grandma, how would you respond to your grandma? Your grandma, you know her situation. She's a poor widow. She has nothing, and she gave it all. I know that some of us would want to go say, now, grandma, I'm all for being generous, grandma. But I'm telling you, you just gave everything you had. Now, how in the world are you going to eat this? And there's some practical, there's some commentators that brought that out. It's like, and what the point is, I don't know. And then there's the obvious connection. If you look at chapter 20, the very last verse of chapter 20, verse 47, he's talking about the teachers of the law. Follow me here. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. So the teachers of the law, the religious people, they devour widows' houses. They're mean to the widows. They go after everything the widows have. This is what he's saying. And then you get into verse 1 through 4 in chapter 21, and what do we see there? Well, here happens to be a widow that is giving. Notice the rich didn't give a whole lot, and the gal gave everything she had. Now, some would even point out that when the rich would bring their offerings, often this is what you'd hear. You'd hear clang, 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 because it's going down into that box, into that, and then here's the poor widow. More, what do you hear? Is a plunk, plunk, right? I mean, just two small coins, and so there's some people that would come against the rich people. I mean, they would preach this as if those mean, horrible, rich people, And why can't you be more like the widow? Well, I think you're taking some liberties in Scripture there, because Jesus just pretty much says Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw the poor widow. He does make the point, though, that all these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of their poverty. So, Scott, you've just kind of, what is it that we need to take from this passage? As I've studied it all week, bottom line is this. I believe the Lord just wants us to be generous. I think if there's anything we can learn from this passage, it's the heart that, yes, I think we should take care of widows. But even beyond that, we should see her generosity and a heart of generosity. You know, for 20 years now, we've prayed into you. We've prayed into your life. We've asked the Lord to give us his heart of generosity. Give us his heart to give. And we've seen that. I mean, we see that regularly in this church, how the Lord has continued to bless and take care of all of our needs. But the point I think we need to run with is this, is as this lady gave her offering, Jesus was standing there, and I think what he was trying to say is, she has a generous heart, let's all be generous. And so today, as we think about what does the Lord want to give through us over the next year to home and foreign missions, in an offering, what does the Lord want to give through us? Let's think of it in that way. In fact, can I tell you that I've seen miracles in my life, but the majority of miracles that I've seen in this church and in Megan and I's life have been connected somehow to generosity and somehow to finances. Why that is, I don't exactly know. But I've seen it. Now, I'm no millionaire, I'm no billionaire, and I'm no zillionaire. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn once. No. But I've seen the Lord do more and more and more things as we have allowed ourselves to be in a place to bless him with the offering. Let me just back this up with Scripture. In fact, let's go to the wisdom Scripture in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Check this out. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man or woman will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I'd encourage you to memorize that verse 25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Proverbs 19:17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Proverbs 21:13. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor and says, I don't care, I don't give a rip about other nations, I don't give a rip about other believers or other lost people in my nation or in other nations, I'm just worried about myself right now. Come on, Scott. Can we just get past this month of February and can we just get back to talking about ourselves? If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, the needy, he too will cry out and not be answered. What we're seeing here is wisdom literature pointing to the fact that there's something that doesn't line up with the way the world would look at wealth and look at money and the way a believer does. Because as we invest in God's kingdom, God refreshes us and invests back into us. Sometimes it's tangible, sometimes it's intangible. But getting back to our text, here we see the generosity of this poor widow on display as she brings an offering. Now let me just say something really quick, and I want to get back to offerings. In giving to the local church, it's no surprise, I've talked about this many times, but the first step is tithing. First step is bottom line is this, God has called the local church to be the sending agency for missionaries. And if there's no local church, there's no missionaries being sent out. And so that's why God has lined it up. The idea, the principle, not just the idea, but the principle of the tithe. Now, I know some people push back and say, that's an Old Testament law. Well, the fact is, you see the tithe in Abraham. You see the tithe before the law. You see the tithe explained in the law. And then you see Jesus affirming the tithe in the New Testament. What is a tithe? A tithe literally means 10%. That means everything that I make, everything Megan and I make, you make, We take 10% and we give it to the Lord through the local church. In fact, we can't even necessarily give it, we bring it, because it's not ours to give. We bring back that tithe. We say, Lord, here's, and I know for some of you, you've never done that. And it's like, it's a real challenge for me to do that. I understand. I mean, it was something that was reared in me when I was just a wee little kid. When I saw my parents tithe every single Sunday, I can't imagine not tithing. I mean, that's the family I grew up in, okay? So, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, I'm so glad for that because I learned a lesson about giving and tithing and offerings from my parents. Some of you didn't have that. And you're looking at your income right now, you're saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm trying to shuffle away money for college and for retirement and for this, and we're trying to pay off the house, and we're so close to all these things, I'm not sure I can. And now you're saying, give 10% to the local church? That's a little much. How can I do that, Scott? Let me tell you exactly how you do. You want to know how you start tithing? If you're not tithing right now, let me tell you how you start tithing. Just write the check first. Seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, go to Malachi. It's the only thing God says, test me in this. Malachi chapter 3 says, test me in this. You test God this month. Don't tune me out here. Let me just encourage you. Test God this month. In the month of March, the first check you write, before you write any other checks for any other bills, any other investments, the first check, take 10%, write it to the local church, your storehouse, worship the Lord with that. And then watch as the Lord is going to do more with the 90% left over than the 100% you kept. I realize it's a huge step. I understand that. But I encourage you, let's be faithful to the word. All giving starts to the local church, starts with the tithe. Okay. Put that aside. Now, there's also in the Bible, there's the discussion of the offering, and there's one area in Scripture that has taught me more about giving of offerings than any other area, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. So I want you to grab your Bibles. Let's go there for the rest of our message today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Let me set this up. So the Apostle Paul, have you heard of him? One of the great men of God in the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul, he was in this area of Macedonia. Now, I don't have a map for you. I know you're all going to be disappointed. I should have taken the time to get a map for you. But Macedonia, if you can just imagine, like Israel's over here and, you know, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and go all the way around the horn here and then cross the pond and where Turkey modern day is. That's where Macedonia is. Think Thessalonica, think Philippi, the Philippians, the book of Philippians, the book of Thessalonians. I mean, those are all written to people that lived in Macedonia. And the believers there, the Apostle Paul, let's just read it in verse 1. And now, brothers, this is chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Okay, let's stop. Let me explain. Here's all these Gentile converts up here in Macedonia. I mean, they're over here in Macedonia and they're struggling themselves. But in Jerusalem, there were some poor believers, very, very like Jewish believers. They believed in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And these, the Macedonian church, out of their, even though they didn't have a lot, they gave, is what the Apostle Paul says. And they gave so that the Jerusalem believers over here and the church over here could be blessed and be encouraged. They gave offerings. And so now, the Apostle Paul is going to the church of Corinth, another church. And say, hey, you ought to hear, check this out. The Macedonian church, out of their, just like they hardly have nothing, but they gave very generously, and God gave them the grace to give. And so I'm expecting you, Church of Corinth, I'm expecting you to do this as well. And that's where we jump in to your notes. Would you grab the notes in the back of the seat in front of you, and let's fill these out. Fill the notes out together as we look at chapter 9, starting at verse 5. So I thought it was necessary, Scripture says. In fact, let me just tell you what the first point is. First point that the Apostle Paul teaches us today about offerings is this. So much, reap much. So much, reap much. Fill that in your notes, will you? So much, reap much. Verse 5. So I thought it was necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangement for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Can I remind you, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25? A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. The blessing comes to those who cheerfully and generously give. Listen, there's nothing wrong with savings. There's nothing wrong with good stewardship. But I'm telling you, there is something supernatural that happens when the child of God gets a hold of this principle of sowing and reaping. Now, it's not karma. Have you ever heard of, karma? Let me just tell you, Buddhists, Hindus, as I understand it, there's this teaching that you've lived multiple lives, and so in one of your earlier lives, if you did good things, then your later lives will be blessed, and that's karma. Can I just encourage you as a believer in Christianity, a believer in Christ, just take that whole karma thought and just throw it away. Because the principle that is true is not karma. The principle that is true is reaping and sowing. Sowing and reaping. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when we sow into the kingdom of God, when we sow seed, sow offerings, finance, whatever. Or this goes in all. When we sow into our marriages, April 23rd, 24th, EXO Marriage Conference happening right here. You know what that's an opportunity? That's an opportunity for you to sow into your marriage and sow into that marriage relationship so that you can reap a benefit and reward. When you sow into spending time with your kids, you reap the benefit of that. When you sow into relationships, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. When you sow into good seed, fertile soil, missions organizations, the local church, when you sow offerings, there is a reward that comes. Now, let me just stop for a second, because there's some say, well, you're one of them preachers, aren't you? You preach that health and wealth gospel. Bless God, I'm out of here. No, I'm not a health. Here's the deal. God wants you to be healthy, and if God blesses you with wealth, can I just tell you something? It's not just so that you can get all the nicest toys and all the greatest stuff. He blesses you with wealth. Why? So that you can be that mirror that reflects that blessing onto others. Some of us, we struggle with being Velcro. Say, I'm not going to be Velcro. I'm not going to be Velcro. Thank you. Because when the blessings come, this is what some of us, it looks like it sticks to us. And God's like, no, I didn't mean, and he tries to rip it off of us. And no, I gave that to you so you could bless these people. And you're like, oh no, it's sticking to me. God's blesses us so that when that blessing comes, we can be a mirror and just bless others. We sow and we reap. We sow and we reap. Let me share two quick stories, maybe just one, to see how time goes. But listen to this. Personally, Megan and I, we reached a point several years ago where, our oldest daughter, it's time to go to college, and she wanted to go to college and had her eyes set on a plan, a desire. And what we realized is we didn't have a whole lot of money. Anyone ever been there? It's like, you're thinking college is like, man. And I'll tell you what was in my heart, and in Megan and I's heart, and we didn't want her to graduate with a load of debt. And I know many of you today, listen, this isn't a slam on doing it another way. I'm just telling you that for us, that's where, and many of you wish that you would have done things differently, but our heart was, we didn't want her to walk away from school with a load of debt. So we're like praying, God, how in the world? We didn't even know what a 529 was, a savings account for college and all those things. We hadn't taken time to look into that. Long story short, though, is that we knew that this was getting ready to happen. We started praying. It's like, Lord, I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know how, but Lord, I just pray for your wisdom. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know, the Lord gave us an opportunity. We have several friends that we've met in my time in Haiti. And one of our friends, we've helped out throughout the years, and he actually did some children's ministry in his village of Susmatla. He was a part of the Church of Hope at the Mission of Hope. We talked about that last week. And he had an opportunity. They're constantly, the economy there is so bad, I don't have to tell you that, but it's so hard to get a job and to have a family and to build a house and all that kind of stuff. So he had an opportunity to go to a driving school. Now, if you've been to Haiti, they have these things called tap-taps, and it's another word for taxi. And so he said, if I could get my license, then I could drive a tap-tap. I think I could do that. And so if I could go to training school. And so here is what he's asking us. He's like, my pastor Scott, will you pay for me to go to the, and how much is it? Well, it was a couple hundred dollars. And Okay, so suddenly here's catch the picture. My daughter here in the States is needing money to go to college, and here's a Haitian friend, but he's needing money to get a job and be able to have a job, et cetera, et cetera. And so in the world's thought, it would be, let's take those couple hundred dollars and let's invest it in our savings and get a little bit of interest before our oldest daughter needs it for college. But what the Lord laid on our heart was this. This is no glory to me. I'm just saying, I'm sharing this as a story of sowing and reaping. What the Lord laid on Megan's heart actually was, what if we sowed into our friend in Haiti? Let's just sow into his life, and let's trust that as we are giving him a chance to learn to drive, learn to have a job, and to have a job, let's just believe that God's going to supply for our needs over here as well. And we did. So we gave several hundred dollars so that he could go to get trained, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just make a long story short, I can say to you today that our daughter was able to get the degree and was able to walk away debt-free, and we praise God for that. I know the way the Lord supplied was because we sowed and we were reaping the blessing of that. Now, I don't know how the Lord's going to work it out for our other children. And again, hear me. I'm not trying to say anything about borrowing or not. That's not my thought right now. What I'm trying to tell you is there will be times where the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to sow into people, sow into other believers, sow into a situation, sow into a ministry. And God will allow a reaping to happen. I'm telling you, every time you sow, Jesus was standing there watching his people. God sees every offering you ever give. He sees everyone. And there is blessing that will come every time you give. Now, it may be tangible or intangible. There's times when tangibly, we've seen nothing. Have you ever given an offering sacrificially? And it's like, whoa, you know, your motive was to worship. I'm giving this as worship to the Lord. But you know in your mind that God says, you know, draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, run over, sowing and reaping. And you're just thinking, and you know, in those times, know this, it's intangible. There are going to be rewards that you and I are going to receive when we get to heaven. There's some we won't see this side of heaven. And you got to be okay with that. But there are times, hear me, there are times when the Lord is going to lay it on your heart to sow into ministry, sow into mission, sow into people's lives, and God will bring, there'll be a reaping, and you need to trust him for that. That's the first thing we see here. I got another great story, but I got to keep moving. Here's the deal. Second thing, verse 7. Look at it. Cheerfully give what God tells you to give. Fill in those notes, will you? Cheerfully give what God tells you to give. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, or King James Version, grudgingly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Give what the Lord lays on your heart. I'll never forget. I wasn't here, but I was on vacation or something, and we had some missionary guests who were here, some longtime friends of ours, new to the missions organization they were a part of. And I got back from our time, and our youth pastor at the time was Keith Grable. Some of you might remember him, but I said, Keith, how did the service go? And he looked at me right in the eyes. And he said, don't ever do that to me again. Not necessarily the thing you want to hear from your youth pastor who you put in charge of the service in your absence. I was like, we joked around a lot, but I could tell Keith wasn't joking. And I said, what happened? For all I know, some of you may have been at this service, so you could probably tell the story better than I could, but what he portrayed to me, as I remember, it was a very high-pressure thing. The missionaries got up here in this church, and it was one of these things where we need 10 people today to give $50 a month, to commit to give $50 a month, and we're not going to go anywhere until we get 10 people right here. God's laying on your heart. And so from what Keith said, it was pretty much given with the response of crickets. I mean, like nobody. It sounds like they it was very high-pressure, it was very pushy, very whatever. And so, as I understand, several of you just more out of embarrassment raised your hand and said, I'll do this, than the move of God or the desire to give cheerfully. I just want to tell you, that's not God's heart and God's desire at all. And you'll hear from me, you'll hear from this stage, is you give cheerfully what the Lord lays on your heart to give. When it comes to offerings, tithe, it's pretty clear. Bring the 10%. But when it comes to offerings, you give what the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, and you give it cheerfully. Let's go to the next thing. Fill this in your notes. Allow God to give you the grace to give. Pastor Scott, okay, I understand sowing and reaping. Yeah, that makes sense. Pastor Scott, I understand God wants me to be cheerful about my giving. I struggle with that sometimes because I think about everything else I could spend money on and the fact that it is and blah, blah, blah. But Scott, I'm just telling you, I have a hard time giving money. Let me tell you what my prayer is for you, and I would ask you to pray as well. Allow God to give you the grace to give. You know, you go all the way back to, let's just look at verse 8. Look at verse 8 in chapter 10. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And chapter 8, verse 1, when he was talking about the Macedonian givers, what does it say? And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Let me tell you, if you're sitting here and you're like, Scott, of all the Sundays for me to come, this is like the most annoying message I've ever heard you preach, Scott. Overall, you're not too bad, but I'm just telling you, I should have just stayed home and watched some other preacher on television because this is just, let me just encourage you, pray. God, give me the grace to give. God, I see it in Scripture. I see offerings, the widow's offering. I see offerings throughout the book of Acts, offerings all through the Scripture. I see offerings in the Old Testament. I see offerings. And God, I need you to touch my heart, though. Would you give me the grace to give what the Bible says in that way? Give me the grace to be like that. The grace of God. The Corinthian church evidently had more money than what the Macedonian church did, but they all gave out of the grace that God had given them. And notice what happened. So that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every work. Let me ask you something. Have you allowed God to give you the grace to give? Well, even if I had the grace, Pastor, I don't have anything to give. I mean, Pastor, I can pray all day about give me the grace to give, give me the grace to give. I don't got no money. I don't have any. I'm glad you said that. Let's look at the next point. God supplies the seed. Fill that in, will you? What? What are you talking about? God supplies the seed. Look at verse 10. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower, that's you, and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Listen, what you and I need to come to grips with is this. God is our supply. He uses your job. He gives you that job. He uses whatever way that God uses to supply for you legally. God, that is your supply. Your supply. I'm just thinking for the drug dealer, is God using that to supply? Probably not. That's illicit. But God is your supply. Ultimately, the person who signs your checks, you've heard me say this before, is not your supply. God is your supply. And he has ways of miraculous. If he sees that there's someone he can trust to sow into his kingdom, he has ways of supplying seed. He's a son. And I think it's interesting, he uses the word seed. What happens when you put a seed in the ground? You don't just store it there, but it blooms and it grows. And most of the time, what else happens? It produces more seeds. Is it by chance? Was it just chance that God used that kind of verbiage in his scriptures? No, it's because that's really what we're doing. You see, what we've got to get past is that when you and I give offerings or we give to someone who's in need, when we do that, it's not just because the pastor told us we should. It's because I'm sowing seed into the kingdom of God on behalf of that person. And I'm trusting the Lord's going to cause that to grow and multiply, and things are going to happen. In fact, he says, it'll increase your store of seed. If he sees that he can trust you, if he sees that he can, when he blesses you, you're not that Velcro, but you're that mirror that reflects it to others, he's going to enlarge your harvest of righteousness. What does that mean? Enlarge the harvest. What this means, unity, it means love, it means thanksgiving, it means a future hope in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. God supplies the seed. And when you and I begin to live as a steward and not as an owner, that's when God can really begin to move through us, not just financially, but in every way, your time, your talent, and your treasure. When you understand everything I have is all his, we give in offerings that he supplies the seed. There have been times in our lives, and I know at times in your life, where God moved on your heart to give something or do something. You're like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, but it's in my heart to do this. So, Lord, I'm waiting, I'm trusting. And also, it's like, man, I don't know where this came from, but Lord, thank you, and we bless, and we minister to others. Let God stretch your faith today. Let God supply the seed. That's why we talk about, you can sit down and you can figure out, okay, I'm going to get my quicken out or money or whatever it is you use. Money's not in business anymore. But whatever you use to keep track of your money and how much can I afford to give. That's wise. There's some wisdom in that. But then there's always that element of faith. Of God, you know what's going to be coming down the line over this next year. So Lord, you provide the seed. I'll take a step today to step out and give. Let me tell you one more thing. It's in your notes. Last thing. God blesses you to bless others. Where's that in Scripture? Verse 11. Look at it. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity result in thanksgiving to God. You know what my prayer is for you? My prayer is that every time there's an opportunity for you to give in an offering, that you're like, okay, what can I give, Lord? Your instant thought isn't, should I give to this? No, your instant thought is, how much should I give? That's my prayer for me. You say, well, Scott, you don't understand. I don't make a lot of money. Well, can you just give something? And that's why I say typically, often, always, when a missionary comes through, just give whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. Whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to give, just give that. And it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. I mean, that's really, it's the heart of that widow that just wants to be generous. And I want to be generous. And my prayer for you is that every time there's an opportunity to give, my prayer for me is that every time there's an opportunity to give, even if it's just $5, I happen to have that in my wallet, okay, five, or something more significant. Again, let me tell you a practical way that Megan and I work. We even work missionary offerings. We typically have a missionary come through once a month here at Pathway. We work missionary offerings into our budget. So like I know there's going to be a missionary coming through, so we've got an amount set that every time there's a missionary that comes through here, we give them this amount. Now, I don't think we've ever given less than that. I guess if it was a certain missionary, maybe we wouldn't. There's times when maybe we need to give a little more than that. But really, every time, we just budget for it. Why? Because every time, and maybe you have a better system than that, but can I just encourage you, let's be generous people. Because it's those generous-hearted people that the Lord refreshes and renews tangibly and intangibly. This is the word of God. This isn't, and the one story I was going to share with you was a story of faith from a third world country. Another friend of mine in Haiti. I don't have time to share it, but I can tell you, if the principle of sowing and reaping works in a third world country, it works everywhere. This isn't a U.S. Christian thing. No, this is a law in Scripture. And so today, as we conclude our service today, and I know some of you got that last thing in the notes, it's like, oh, it's time to go. Go on. Just give me a couple more minutes as we conclude. Because here's the deal. Those of you who have been giving to missions for a long time, there's some of you watching online. Some of you, you've given to missions through this local church like since the day we started. We have people in this church that have been here since the very beginning. And they started, before we even had a Sunday morning service, we had people giving to missions through this church. It's just a part of our DNA. It's who we are. And my encouragement to you is this, is my prayer for you is I don't want it just to be routine. And so my prayer for you is that through this month is that God has given you a vision larger than just what's right in front of our faces, but a vision to take the gospel to the nations, and he's renewed that, and he's refreshed that. For those of you who are here, he's like, man, I've never stepped out and said, you know, over the next year between March of 2021 and 2022, 22, the end of February. This is what I feel like the Lord wants to give through me. That you've never done that before. That today you would take a step and you say, okay, my desire is to be a part of giving. I'm going to give. And that God would give. This is my prayer for you all week. Give him the grace to give. Give him the grace to step out. Scott, I don't know how I can afford this. Well, that you can figure that out. I've got some thoughts myself. I'm not going to do this, but just start looking. Okay, how much do I spend on my cable television? How much do I spend on my Coca-Cola? Coke Zero. How much do I spend on eating out? Listen, I'm not saying don't buy Coke Zero. By all means, buy Coke Zero, for goodness sakes. I'm not saying that you're bad if you have Sling. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're bad if you have an Xfinity like I do, and it gives you high-speed internet at your house. That's not bad. That's not bad. I'm just saying, what's more important to you? Are you investing? How does that compare, what you're investing into some of these things, to how you're investing into his kingdom and giving to missions? My prayer is that God will give you the grace to step out and give. And so, literally, what I would encourage you to do today is to fill this thing out. What you do is you take this little piece over here, you rip that off, you keep this section, and just write in there what you designated you're going to give. And then you fill this part out and drop it in the boxes out in the foyer. Or if you're online, we can get you one of these as well. But you can give weekly, you can give monthly. I like to give weekly. I just like something about giving weekly. And so we give weekly to missions in our tithe or whatever. Some of you give once a month, and that's fine as well. Some of you just like one chunk, one gift. Like right now, you better save it up, Pastor, because this is all you're getting. This is all we're giving to missions, and that's fine too. If you just give one sum, it's like, and we'll spread it out and use it throughout. What does this do? This keeps the missionary on the field. When a missionary comes through, you heard me say this last week, when a missionary comes through and we give an offering to them, that goes to projects. But if they're not on the field, they don't even need money for projects, right? This right here, your regular, systematic, faithful giving to foreign and home missions through your faith promise, this keeps our missionaries on the field. And we take this, turn around, and each one of our missionaries at this point, most of them are either at the $70 range, some at $100, and then we have some strategic missionaries, three of those, that give that get around $500 a month. I've explained that already, but we take it, and we just turn around and give it right back. You'll see in the financial report, if you look in the Welcome Center, or if you stick around for the annual business meeting, you'll see how those monies have been spent as we've given to missions. Can I just encourage you, though, when you take this step, I encourage you to use either your bank or, look at this, the Church Center app. If you haven't downloaded this yet, I encourage you, if you have a smartphone, go to the Google Play Store, whatever it's called, or go to your Apple Store and pick this up, download this, search for our church. This is a way you can give online through the app. You can also go on our website and do that, but you can automate your giving. You can do it through your bank, and we've done that for years, and for the most part, it's worked really well. Recently, we've had some hiccups, but we've got it figured out. But you could give through the app, and if you give using just having them take it right out of your bank account, it's only 25-cent charge for us, and so that's tremendous. You can do that. But I just want to encourage everyone. I encourage everyone, if you're a regular tender at Pathway, I encourage you to take one of these cards, fill this puppy out, and drop it. What do you do with those then? Well, we come and we hold you to this, and if you don't give this, we come knock on your door and we chase after you. We TP your house, even spoon it. I mean, we do all kinds of things if you don't pay. No. This really helps us to build a budget. Over the next few weeks, I'll be working on our missions budget. How many more missionaries can we take on? Can we give some that we already have a little bump up? What can we do to be able to support more missionaries? So this helps us to set that budget. So if you can help us with this, what do you feel like the Lord wants to give to you over the next year? Fill this out, drop it in. One last thought, Matthew chapter 28. In fact, worship team, would you come? Matthew chapter 28 says this. In fact, do you have that scripture on the screen? Yeah, there we go. Look on the screen. Therefore, go and make disciples of all, can you say it out loud with me? Of all nations. This is our call. Maybe some of you have read this a million times. Maybe you've memorized this a million times, but it's never hit you like it has this month. I know it hit me this month for some reason. Go to all nations. That's our call. It's to go to all nations. This nation needs Jesus. Canada needs Jesus. Mexico needs Jesus. All the nations in South America and Central America and the continent of Africa and Europe, all Asia, all these areas, they need Jesus. And it's our call to go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Take the gospel. Yes, feed them. Yes, clothe them. Yes, educate them. But make sure we're presenting the gospel, the most important thing we could share with them. Let's share the gospel with them. Let's teach them to be disciples. And notice the promise. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's almost like here's what you need to do. And when that happens, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be with you. Surely I will be with you. Let me throw this out to you. I don't want to make this too simplistic, but notice this. The promise comes after the command. And I have never, can you keep that verse up there? Thank you. I have never seen a church focused on the Great Commission, going and reaching the nations, that hasn't been blessed with God's presence, surely being with them always. Well, if they could just turn the lights a little darker. Well, if that guitarist could just swing his guitar around once, I could really feel the presence of God then. If we could get like a spirit-baptized moshing pit, man, I could really feel the presence and spirit of God. I'm telling you find any church that's committed to taking the gospel to their Jerusalem, to the Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, I'll tell you, that's where God's presence is. If you want to have a church that's alive and faith-filled, where lives are regularly being changed and challenged, let's be about reaching the nations. If you want to have a church where our kids can grow up in a life-giving, knowing Jesus, not just religion church, let's reach the nations. Jesus says, you want my presence, you want more of me, go about doing what I've commanded you to do. Reach the nations. Let's go, church. Let's be that church. Come on, stand with me as we close in prayer.